God incarnate, the Logos, the Word of God, the light of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Jesus Christ, who was crucified for us and proved who he was by his resurrection, he is risen. Let's pray. The fact that you have risen from the grave, giving us hope of life, proving who you are. Father, let us never take our eyes off of Jesus. And as we look into your word this morning, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would cause our spirit to respond and hear what you would have us hear and respond to. Please be glorified in this time. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, last week in our text, we saw that when Jesus talked about not seeing death, he was focused on the spiritual and not the physical. Not meaning that people's bodies would not die, but that those who placed their faith and hope in him, in Jesus, would live forever in the presence of our loving God rather than live forever in the torment and never-ending death of hell due to never having been freed from the slavery of sin and its consequences, a delivery that can only happen via faith in Jesus Christ. We also heard that Jesus absolutely claimed to be God, and that those who heard him knew exactly what he meant. And it is essential that we embrace this and that we believe this and know this and never, ever give in to the lie of Satan that Jesus was only a man or that he never claimed to be God. He was entirely both, and he proved it by his resurrection. And we finally heard that just because someone says they believe in God or in Jesus doesn't necessarily make it the case. What makes it the case is whether we know Jesus and whether we truly believe in him and truly place our faith in him, the true God Almighty who died for our sins. And when someone really does that, it will change them. As Jesus imputes his righteousness to them, and then we begin to live as he lived, caring for the lost and the hungry, and eventually spending eternity with our Heavenly Father. This week, our text is about a story about a man born blind, including a whole bunch of questions and assertions and allegations and lessons. But central to this whole thing is Jesus making a very clear point that he, God incarnate, had come to give sight to those who were blind. I'm going to read our whole text for the day, and it's a little bit longer than normal, but I decided to read the whole thing. It's the chapter 9 of the gospel, because it's important to hear the whole narrative. And while this may mean that there's going to be way more than we can possibly cover in the time that we have, what we will do this morning is look at a few things that are worthy of our consideration from this story, which is easier done by listening to the whole story. So now hear the word of the Lord, John chapter 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but it's like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought to the Pharisees, the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they again said to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed Jesus to be the Christ, the Messiah, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why? Do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." Thus ends the reading of the Word of God. Well, a long reading, but that's the whole story, and I think it's important to take a look at the whole thing. And the first thing that we need to note is actually very similar to last week's first point. And that is that while there is a lot of discussion about physical blindness and physical healing of a blind man, the real issue is not about physical healing or physical blindness. It is about spiritual blindness and spiritual sight. And as we mentioned last week, getting too caught up on the physical can be a problem that can cause us to miss the real and bigger point. Last week, it was about not seeing death. spiritual death, not physical death. This week it is about seeing and blindness, not physically, but spiritually. If one is too focused on the physical, such as making the story about physical healing, they stand at risk of missing the point. In fact, being overly focused on the physical was the underlying problem with the disciples' question at the very beginning of this narrative, when the disciples questioned Jesus about the man's physical blindness and the cause of that man's condition. And Jesus, by his words and deeds, makes the point that the real issue for the man, and for them, and for us, has nothing to do with his or our physical condition. So much so that the issue of the man's physical blindness and the cause of it was basically taken off the table of discussion by Jesus. What mattered was spiritual blindness, and he had come so that the blind could see. The issue was spiritual blindness, and the key to the healing of spiritual blindness is in doing what Jesus says and believing in him. Those who could physically see but were spiritually blind, such as the Pharisees, had a much more serious condition than the physical condition of the man who had been born blind, who, by the way, was also spiritually blind at the point, as are we, until we accept who Jesus is and he gives us true sight. Jesus healed the man born blind of both conditions, but the healing that will last forever, the healing that really mattered, was the healing of his spiritual blindness, which resulted in him worshiping Jesus. This passage also provides a perfect case in point related to the rightly handling of the word of truth, something God commands us to do. The truth is that we can allow ourselves to be distracted by things that are not the main point of a text. And we need to be careful about this, because in so doing, we stand at risk of missing the real point of a scriptural text. For example, the issue of the mud. Perhaps you've heard some really good and doctrinally sound and edifying sermons related to this subject. However, we need to be clear about something. Anyone who thinks that they have this part of the story absolutely figured out as to why Jesus made a paste of dirt and saliva to anoint the guy's eyes, well, I can guarantee you that there will be people of equal intelligence and with the same faith and conviction about Jesus and who have sound doctrine that will have a different explanation as to why Jesus did that. Some will talk about the supposed cultural beliefs of the time related to the healing properties of saliva. Some tie what he did to God making mankind out of the dirt, and this is an indirect reference to Genesis. Or some think it was to make a bunch of other spiritual or implied or inferred or actually unclear points. However, perhaps the only thing that is absolutely certain about the mud is that it is not the point of the story. While there are some lovely and beautiful and even doctrinally sound explanations about the mud just isn't the point. And spending too much time on stuff that isn't the point as we're trying to rightly handle the word of Scripture can be a distraction. Rather than focusing on the mud or other details of our life that might not make sense to us, we need to listen to the voice of Jesus and do what he says, which is what the blind man did. The man heard what Jesus told him to do, did it, and could see. That is the point. Do you really think that guy understood what was going on? I mean, he couldn't even see what was going on. And the mud certainly wasn't something he was focused on. In fact, he didn't even say anything about saliva or spit or the dirt or what kind of dirt or that the dirt was from around Jerusalem or that how much mud Jesus had used or how long it had been on his eyes or the cultural or spiritual meaning of this or that or provide a great explanation, theological explanation of any of it. He said, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." That's verse 11. Doing what Jesus tells us to do, even if it doesn't make sense, as the blind man did, is a clear lesson we can take from this text. And it is also much more worthy of our time and consideration than trying to figure out stuff that isn't clear. And while what I'm saying might undermine the premise of some wonderfully powerful and probably doctrinally sound sermons that you might have heard about Jesus using the spit and the meaning of that, and well, that wasn't the point. For the blind man and John's recounting of this story, it was simple. He was blind, stuck in darkness. Jesus told him to do something. He did it, and he saw. The man who was not round around the axle wondering, he wasn't wondering why Jesus did what he did or told him to do what he told him to do, but the man did what Jesus told him to do and was simply left in awe, praising God that he had been given his sight, and he was telling others the truth about it. And Jesus wasn't even done with him yet. Certainly there are stories, details in the story and in our lives that are significant. However, the challenge for us should not be to spend inordinate amount of time trying to figure out and explain things that Jesus does and tells us to do that might not make sense to us, such as love your enemies, turning the other cheek. But the challenge for us is to do them, to do what Jesus tells us, even if we don't understand. Another example, or perhaps over-focusing on a detail that really isn't the main point, is directly related to the question that the disciples asked Jesus at the beginning of the narrative. And while one can argue that Jesus did answer their question by saying neither of the options they gave him was correct, that the man had sinned or his parents had sinned, resulting in him being blind. Perhaps a more accurate assessment of Jesus' response to their question is that he didn't really answer their question. Instead, he focused on what really mattered. And that was what God was going to do, what God was going to use that situation for, that the man's blindness and his condition that had left him begging for his daily food, daily needs, that he was going to use that to display something, namely that Jesus had come to give sight, spiritual sight, to those who are blind. The man's physical brokenness and blindness was not the real issue, just as our particular situation or condition is never really the issue. And certainly finding blame for his situation or our situation was not the issue. Which was, and that was really the real premise or assumption underlying the disciples' query. Who sinned that this man was born blind? Whose fault is it? Is it his fault? Is it his parents' fault? Is it Adam and Eve's fault? For Jesus, more important than the man's condition and situation, or what caused it, was the wonderful thing that God was going to do with it. Because that's what God does. God takes awful things and turns them into wonderful things. And nowhere is this clearer than in his taking the unjust torture and murder of the Son of God and turning that into the salvation of all who would place their trust in him. And we need to keep this idea in mind when we encounter situations that are hard. We should not spend our time trying to figure out who is to blame for it or asking for answers to questions we may never get this side of eternity. Rather, we should consider the bigger and more important issues, and that is, and will be, what will God do with it, our situation? If we listen to the voice of Jesus and do what he says, just as was the case with this blind man, and then the works of God will be displayed in us. But too frequently, that isn't our attitude or our focus. Too frequently, what matters to us is our situation, our blindness. We're focused on that. Can you, and reasons that it's a problem. Can you even imagine what would have happened if that man had said, "You want me to go to the Pool of Siloam? That's a ways from here. And haven't you noticed? I can't see. Who will guide me? It will be hard. And if I don't stay here and beg, how will I get money to feed myself today? And you want me to go now? Oh, okay, I'll go, but I think I'll go to a different pool because I like it better." I mean, it sounds like what we do in our life. The man would never have received his sight, physically or spiritually. But instead, he acknowledged his condition, let Jesus do what Jesus was going to do, and he obeyed Jesus, and he saw. Jesus came so the blind, us, could see. And the step to see again is doing what Jesus says, even if it doesn't really make sense, and regardless of what caused our blindness or our situation. The final thing I want to look at is the big reveal that this story has at the end. After this man had been cast out by the Pharisees, Jesus asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The Son of Man is a very loaded phrase that has had volumes and volumes written about it, which almost always conclude that the term had multiple meanings that ranged from he was human to he was the Messiah, to it meant he was someone referred to in prophecy, or it meant he was deity, God. And depending on the context that it's used, it can mean all of those things. It was also the most common phrase that Jesus used when referring to himself. Unfortunately, many non-Christians have mistakenly used the fact that he referred to himself as the Son of Man as a primary argument that Jesus only claimed that he was human, not God. But they are wrong for a bunch of reasons. And one of the most obvious is something in the narrative that clearly tells us what the man who had his sight restored physically and then spiritually understood the phrase Son of Man to mean. Up to now in John's gospel, Jesus has been making the point that he was God over and over. From his referring to himself as the Lord of the Sabbath to the symbolism related to his miraculous feeding of the thousands, to his turning water to wine, to his healing of people, to his out-and-out claims such as calling himself the I Am. John has been making it clear in this eyewitness account that Jesus claimed and demonstrated over and over that he is God. And in this text, it is also very clear that the man who was given his sight believed the phrase Son of Man meant deity. We should note that before Jesus identified himself as the Son of Man to the man who had been born blind, this man, who had already been physically healed, was still in spiritual blindness because he had not yet understood who Jesus was. When the Pharisees were interrogating, the people were interrogating, asking him who he thought Jesus was, in verse 17, he said, "He's a prophet." Well, that's close, but not quite there. As the interrogation continued, the man spoke of Jesus' character, but he still didn't quite understand who Jesus was, even though he made it clear that he thought Jesus was a man from God, verse 33. The point was, he was still blind spiritually and had not gained his sight on the thing that really mattered. Now hear verses 35 to 38 again. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. He got it. The true indication of what this man thought the term Son of Man meant and who he eventually understood Jesus to be is given when it says that he worshiped him, Jesus. This was a Jewish man. And for a Jew, there is only one God, and you were not to worship anything or anyone other than that one God, including kings and prophets and angels. You were only to worship God. And that is what that man did when Jesus identified himself as the Son of Man. He worshiped God. And Jesus received that worship, which is also very telling. The point being, again, in this story, we hear the proclamation that Jesus is God. Well, this story is not about mud or physical healing or ideas about the causes of disabilities or conditions or all the other stuff that's part of this story, but it's not the main point. It's about Jesus, who came to give sight to the blind, and we are to believe in him, the Son of Man, God incarnate. In fact, that is the main point and the reason that John wrote his gospel in the first place. As it says in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And as Jesus said at the beginning of his narrative in verses 3 and 4, in response to the disciples' questions, he said, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." We need to hear that. We must work the works of him who sent me. And as John 6, 28 and 29 makes clear, it says, they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." Amen. To believe in Jesus, that's the point. And that belief means action. It means doing what Jesus says and worshiping him. When we do what Jesus says, we will see. And when we get our sight, we will see Jesus clearly and worship him as God, who he really is. Or we can remain blind and get caught up on all the things like the Pharisees did or in the story, or like we might by trying to analyze things that really aren't clear, and we'll miss the point. that Jesus came to give sight to the blind, and that people who place their faith and trust in him, the Son of Man, God incarnate, will no longer be blind spiritually, but they will see God and worship him. So, are we going to do what Jesus tells us to do, even when we don't understand? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. If we want to see, we will. Or are we going to confess that Jesus is God and worship him? If we do what Jesus tells us to do, specifically the work of God, which is believe in Jesus, then yes, we will. And we will see God, who loves us so much that he came to die for our sins that we could spend eternity with him. Jesus came that the blind could see. Let's do what Jesus tells us to do. Amen. We're now going to take a little bit of time for silent reflection on the prayers. There were many, many prayer concerns that were brought before the fellowship this morning, or things in the songs, or things in the message, or the scripture. And take some time in silence to just reflect and listen. What is the Holy Spirit? What is Jesus telling you to do? And then I'll close in a little bit. Let's pray.